There's a line in Scripture, one of the letters that Paul wrote, which was a suggestion to pray without ceasing. And that's one of those, in Scripture, stuff is either historical, metaphorical, or metaphysical. And I've seen so many people who have interpreted that historically. Like, well, it's really difficult to do that because you've got to go to work and you have to spend your time doing these things and those things and other things. So you just can't spend all your time praying without ceasing. It's just not possible. And that's true, except when it's not. Because there's a couple of things that are going on. The first thing that we do is we know that there are five steps in a practical prayer. Seven if it's not going well. Nine if it's really not going well. 13, 27. We can do any odd number to get ourselves back to the point where it's working for us. And in a lot of prayers that show up in Scripture, it's just an affirmation. The same thing as a self-help affirmation that we hear these days. Like, Lazarus rise, or the centurion's servant is healed because he wants it to be, or the woman is healed because she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And it's just this one-step thing. And we have five, or seven, or nine, or some other number. And then there's the notion of praying without ceasing. That's not where I started, not where I am now. We have a different notion here, which is stop, drop, and pray. When something catches fire, it's to notice that there's something going on that we don't like and be able to drop out of that and drop into prayer, to stop what it is that we're doing in the world and go into prayer. So that's the first thing that we want to remember to do when things are not working for us. Raise your hand if you're really good at muscling things, figuring stuff out and fixing things and getting to be unbroken, forcing your way through, controlling stuff. Have I hit all your buttons yet? Because we all have ways of doing that. There are ways that we have of maneuvering in the world to change our experience. And it works. That's why we do it. It works, or at least it seems to work. We get distracted by the possibility that the world of cause and effect is that the cause is when I push on something and the effect is when it moves. Because in physics, in Newtonian physics, that is the way that it works. That's what cause and effect is all about. But that's not the bigger truth. Metaphysically, intentionally, spiritually, the cause is always in consciousness. That first step in creativity is always in consciousness. It's the idea, I want this thing to move. The first effect is me pushing on it. The second effect is it moving. And the really cool part about using consciousness first when we do the stop, drop, and pray is when I decide this thing is going to move, I might not have to push it. Something else might come along and push it. The ground might open up underneath it and let it slide in the direction that I wanted it to go. Or something else can happen to allow that movement to happen in the world around me once that change in consciousness has gone on. So, stop, drop, and pray is all about stepping out of our existence in the mundane physical world and turn our attention to the truth, to spirit. That's the first step in the prayer, is we recognize the divine presence and power that's everything. And, you know, when you're thinking about that, it's true. And when you're not thinking about that, it's still true. It doesn't happen because we're thinking about it. It happens because we remember. That's where the stopping and dropping comes in. To stop trying to force stuff around in the world, to drop into our spiritual awareness, into our awareness of the divinity within. Recognize that divine power and presence, that God presence, that divine essence, whatever it is that we call it. I mean, it could be the one that's in the beginning of Genesis. It's the very beginning of the Bible, so I've read that part. I haven't finished, don't tell me how it comes out. In the beginning there was darkness and void in God. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Very simple creation story, and that is exactly how I just described consciousness works in cause and effect. The cause was God saying, consciousness saying, let there be, and the effect was, there is. And the effect showing up is a matter of law. There's a creative law that's always operating. And I might hear you say, well, when God says it, yeah. When God says, let there be light, there's going to be light. But if I say, let there be light, it still might be dark. And what's going to go on there? And what's happening? Maybe not. Maybe it won't work. And the fact of the matter is, it always works. It is always working. All the time, it is working. Because if I say, let there be light, and I think, maybe there won't be light, then my consciousness is, maybe there won't be light. And the law says, yes! And there's no light. And then I think, oh, well, maybe I didn't do it right, or maybe I'm being punished, maybe God doesn't love me, maybe there's something wrong, the rest of it. And the fact of the matter is, in my consciousness, I am not yet ready for light. So what we want to be able to do is make sure that whatever it is that we're claiming is something that we believe we could actually embody or accept or have in our lives. You know, there's people who are, you know, really, really wanting to lose weight. And they can. But they really, really, really have to believe that they can lose the weight or drop the weight or manifest their body in a different way and believe it. And then the other stuff fits along. Now, I've spent a fair amount of time in my life on a lot of different diet programs. And some of them have worked fabulously and some of them have not. And I know that when I truly believe that I deserve to have that change in my body, that it comes about. Sometimes it's not nearly as fast as I like it to. Sometimes the universe does not work at my pace, and I'm very dissatisfied, and if there were a survey, I would fill it out and register my complaint, but I don't know who to give it to. But the law is always working. That infinite creative law is always working, and it's always given the same answer. It's always saying yes to whatever it is that we're putting into it. So when we come up with a circumstance or a situation that we're not particularly enjoying, and we want to fight against it or push against it or want to have a different experience, then when we stop and drop into prayer, we go to that first step where we identify that divine creative power that's creating everything. Whether it's the one that's in Genesis, whether it's the Big Bang. I mean, the Big Bang was oneness. It was a singularity, and it began expanding. And everything that exists everywhere came from that. All of the substance, all of the energy, all of the matter, all of the intelligence that exists anywhere has to have come from that. It has come from nowhere else. And since we're part of it, that good, whatever it is that we're looking toward, is available to us too. Has to be. Not possible that it's everywhere except where I am. Okay, I hear you say, what does that have to do with praying without ceasing? We'll get there. There are times when I've wanted to have an experience in my life and I've gone through the prayer. And I've turned my attention to that infinite power and presence, and I've identified that I am in fact one with it. That's the second step. And then I've claimed my good in whatever extent I'm going to. And maybe I've gotten an objection. There's a little voice that says, yeah, but you're not going to lose the weight. Yeah, but you don't deserve that. Yeah, but you've always had a problem with this. Yeah, but whatever it happens to be. And I can go through the process of clearing my consciousness so that I'm opening myself up to the good. Whether it's in my physical body, whether it's in my finances, whether it's in my my creativity, wherever that is. When I open myself up to the good and I let go of the doubt, when I let go of the possibility that it's not going to happen, that I don't deserve it, when I get myself into that alignment, then that good gets to show up in all kinds of different ways, and remarkably quickly. Annie's here today. Annie manifests stuff faster than anybody I know. She's like a 24-cylinder manifester. And it's a reminder for me about how quickly it can work, about how rapidly things can change. And just to finish up, the next to last step in the prayer is gratitude. To go into thankfulness for whatever we're going to be thankful for. Thankful for the good that showed up in our lives, thankful for the awareness of the process, thankful to know that we are connected to this infinite creative power. Be thankful for anything you want. It's about being thankful. And then the last step is to let it go. And that's a practical prayer of 5 or 7 or more steps. And it would seem that it would be kind of exhausting to do that continuously. To do that praying without ceasing. So how would that even work, I hear you say? Well, you're not saying that, but if you were saying that, how would that work, Bill? See, Jesus was a great teacher, because in all the prayers in the Bible, he said, Lazarus, rise, or those affirmations, and they worked, and it was cool, because he made those things happen just like with a simple statement. And that's because he lived in the first and second steps. He knew. I mean, he said, when you see me, the Father and I are one. When you see me, you see the Father. He knew that there was one infinite power and presence, and it manifested as everything, including him. So he was walking in those first two steps all the time. So when he stopped and dropped and prayed, he didn't have to stop and do those steps, because he remembered that all the time. And that's what happens at that very high level of conscious awareness, the awareness of the divinity. And he's not the only one. There are not that many people who have reached avatar status. They tend to be the ones that have religions named after them. But when it gets to the point where the Buddha can just be one with everything that's around, then there is that awareness of that connection with that oneness. Now, I've been in the presence of very spiritual people, and you can feel it. You can feel it. Somebody walks into the room and it's like, everything changed. I had that happen once or twice. Once was probably 20 or more years ago at a conference in Palm Springs. And the person walked into the room and you could just feel the presence. And it's really cool to be around those people. I had a chance to spend 20 minutes with Don Miguel Ruiz. And the same sort of thing. I said, can I do anything? You want to do anything? He said, I just want to sit here. I said, I'll sit here with you. He said, that'd be great. So I got to just sit there with him for 20 minutes. That was the most peaceful 20 minutes possibly of my life. Because it was just radiating off of him. That's who he was. That was the consciousness that he brought to the situation. So if we get to stay in that awareness of the infinite all the time, and when we have a desire that comes along, it's something that we want to have happen, where the centurion says, I'd like my servant to be healed, then we can just, in that moment, say that affirmation, but not say it from our self-help level. We can say that affirmation from our divine spiritual level, where we know that we know that we know it's true. Lazarus, rise. I don't have to do the first two steps. I know this guy's getting up out of the grave. Hope he wants to. Presumably by the time we get to that level, we are aware that there might be something bigger going on than we were looking at. But praying without ceasing isn't about stopping doing all of the other things in our lives. Praying without ceasing is about always being in that awareness of our true divinity, about always being able to open ourselves up to that divine power and allow it ourselves to be a channel or a guide or the pointer that allows that newness to come into life. So you don't have to give up all the other stuff that you're doing to pray without ceasing. I'm far from there yet, but I have noticed that the tone and the experience of my life has become more harmonious and more balanced as I spend more and more time focusing on praying without ceasing, about being aware of my true divinity, of my divine nature all the time. And of course, I'm special, I'm different, I can do stuff that you guys can't do, because I'm standing up here and you're out there. No, that's not true. That's not true. If it's true for anyone, it's true for everyone. And that means we all can do that. So that's the invitation for you. Don't say that you have to stop making lunch for the kids. Don't say that I can't do housework anymore because I have to pray. You can, Brother Lawrence washed the dishes in the monastery to the glory of God and managed to turn everything into a prayer. So you can too. Go ahead and give it a try. Because you deserve all of that good. So it is.